Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we are strapping in for a really deep exploration into something fundamental that is changing right now. The definition of quality itself. Mm-hmm. We are moving beyond, you know, just the metrics of efficiency and diving headfirst into this new frontier where technology meets human values.
Right.
This isn't just an upgrade. It feels more like a philosophical transformation of industrial standards.
It really is a fundamental shift.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our source material today is focused on the abstract and key excerpts from a pretty powerful new book. It was introduced in the Quality Progress article titled Transformation Transition.
Yep, I saw that on October 2025.
That's the one. Volume 58, Issue 10, pages 10 through 19. So if you are tracking the evolution of industrial and professional standards, this document is, well, it's kind of like the blueprint for the next decade, isn't it?
It certainly feels that way. And the weight behind this material is significant. Mm. The authors, Jones, Thomas, Kahn, and Elshinawi, they bring this incredibly high-stakes, practical perspective.
Yeah.
They're affiliated with industrial engineering, the really demanding world of aerospace and defense,
okay,
and the University of Central Florida Quality Institute. When you see thought leaders from fields like aerospace, where, you know, failure is simply not an option.
Yeah, no kidding.
Defining the future of quality. Mm-hmm. And this vision of quality 5.0 is grounded not just in idealism, but in the practical long-term necessity of operating complex high-reliability systems in, well, a pretty turbulent world.
Exactly. So our mission for you, the listener, is to really pull apart this concept of quality 5.0. How does it use and fundamentally repurpose the technology of quality 4.0? Mm. And why is this leap being framed as like a mandatory operational step toward this huge societal concept known as Society 5.0?
Right, that connection is key.
We need to move past simply understanding the labels and really grasp the true dramatic shift in priorities this implies. It's a big deal.
It is.
So let's start maybe in familiar territory, the last decade. Quality 4.0. That era was defined by the digital transformation, you know, the seamless fusion of cyber and physical systems epitomized by the industrial Internet of Things, massive data analytics, hyper-automation. The goal was supreme efficiency, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Optimization was the name of the game.
But the sources tell us quality 5.0 is specifically defined as a product of industry 5.0. What does that dependency actually signify?
It signifies a really crucial shift in focus. Mm-hmm. Quality 5.0 isn't demanding we scrap the sensors, the AI, or the cloud infrastructure we built for 4.0. Not at all.
Okay.
Quite the opposite. The article explicitly states that quality 5.0 builds on the technologies of quality 4.0. Mm-hmm. But the purpose.
Yeah.
The purpose changes completely.
How so?
Well, in 4.0, we optimize the machine for itself, right? For maximum speed, minimum cost.
Mm-hmm.
In 5.0, we are taking that same powerful infrastructure and deliberately reorienting it to serve human and environmental goals first.
But hold on. If 4.0 technology was so successful at optimizing production, driving down waste, increasing speed, why the pivot now? Why isn't just, you know, continuous iteration on 4.0 enough? What's the breaking point that demands this whole new philosophical layer?
That's the core tension, isn't it?
Yeah.
The 4.0 framework achieved tremendous efficiency, absolutely, but often at the cost of resilience and societal impact. Think about hyper-globalized, single-source supply chains, kind of the peak efficiency measure of 4.0.
Right, JIT, all that.
Exactly. When the pandemic hit or geopolitical risk spiked, those hyper-efficient systems proved pretty brittle, didn't they?
Yeah, incredibly brittle, fragile even.
Quality 4.0 provided the data to optimize, sure, but it didn't inherently contain the philosophical framework to value human safety or environmental integrity or robust adaptability over immediate cost savings.
So it lacked the why, almost.
In a sense, yes. The authors highlight the foundational concepts being redefined here. Hmm. Industry 4.0, which is the technological bedrock.
Okay.
Globalization, which is the operational context.
Hmm.
And quality philosophy itself, which is the governing framework. Globalization, specifically, has really exposed the ethical shortcomings of purely efficiency-driven quality.
What do you mean?
Well, if your efficient process relies on unsustainable energy, or, say, questionable labor practices overseas, Quality 4.0 might have marked it as a success based on cost and speed.
Right.
But Quality 5.0 flags that as a systemic failure.
Okay, so the immense data infrastructure provided by 4.0, that ability to track, analyze, and automate everything, is now necessary to measure things we previously maybe ignored.
Exactly.
Like a company's true global impact or the detailed social implications of a product's lifecycle.
Precisely. The ability to collect and process real-time data from every single point in the supply chain, from raw material sourcing all the way to end-of-life disposal, that's the enabling technology.
Mm.
But the motivation is entirely new. We aren't asking, how can the data save us money? We are asking, how can the data confirm we are operating ethically and sustainably?
That's a huge shift.
It is. And that sets up the revolutionary part of this deep dive, what those new guiding principles actually are.
Okay, let's get into it. If the underlying technology remains largely the same, the change must be in the definition of quality itself. The source material defines Quality 5.0 as a significant shift, blending advanced technologies with an explicitly human-centric and sustainable approach. Let's get into the specifics, because these four new dimensions, they sound like the entire operating manual for this new era.
They really are. They're framed as non-negotiable foundational pillars. Quality management must now simultaneously satisfy all four to be considered excellent, not just one or two.
All four. Okay, what's the first one?
First, we have human centricity. This is a direct counterpoint to maybe the dehumanizing aspects of extreme 4.0 automation.
Right.
Historically, quality professionals often measured the human element primarily as a source of error or variance to be eliminated. You
know? Yeah, the human factor is the problem.
Right. Exactly. Human centricity flips this entirely. It ensures the technology enhances, assists, and respects the worker, the customer, and the community.
Respects them. How?
It means systems must be designed for cognitive ease and safety, moving beyond just mere physical safety checks to include psychological and digital well-being too.
Wow. Okay. How does that manifest practically in a quality system, though? It sounds like we're asking engineers to suddenly become behavioral scientists.
Well, maybe not full behavioral scientists, but we're asking them to integrate new thinking. Quality professionals now need to integrate concepts from human factors engineering, organizational psychology.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if an advanced AI-driven interface is leading to high cognitive load or burnout among human supervisors, the quality of that system is low under 5.0, regardless of its speed or precision.
Ah, so the metrics change.
Completely. The metrics move from purely output-based to measuring the quality of the human-machine collaboration itself.
Mm.
It demands that the technology serves the human being rather than the human being struggling to keep pace with an impersonal machine.
That's a fascinating and probably necessary expansion of the field. Okay, let's move to the second pillar, sustainability. This has been a buzzword for years, right? How does Quality 5.0 finally integrate it into actual verifiable standards?
It integrates it by making it a mandatory quality check throughout the entire product realization lifecycle.
Yeah.
Not just at the end.
Right.
Quality 5.0 demands the integration of environmental and resource longevity directly into the standards. This moves way beyond just ensuring your packaging is recyclable.
Right.
It mandates adherence to the principles of the circular economy. Quality professionals must now perform rigorous checks on things like carbon footprint, material sourcing purity, energy consumption per unit of quality output,
yeah,
and verifiable waste reduction across the entire supply chain.
Verifiable being the key word there.
Absolutely verifiable.
Yeah.
And the 4.0 technologies like IoT tracking, robust data storage, modeling capabilities, they actually allow this depth of scrutiny now.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Think about using blockchain, maybe, to create a verifiable material passport that documents the ethical and environmental history of every single component used in a complex product.
Wow.
Quality is no longer separate from long-term viability. If your product realization compromises future resources, it's simply a failure of quality today under 5.0.
So quality professionals become kind of like environmental stewards, managing geological and temporal resources as much as operational flow.
That's a good way to think about it, yeah. Which leads us directly to the third pillar. Resilience. Why is resilience singled out as a specific measurable dimension of quality now? Isn't that just part of risk management?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
It goes far beyond traditional risk management, actually. Resilience here is framed as a direct response to the complexity and, frankly, the unpredictability embedded in that globalization framework the author cited.
Okay.
In a hyper-connected world, localized disruptions,
yeah.
a port closure, a software attack, a sudden climate event, they have massive cascade effects, right?
We've certainly seen that.
Yeah.
Quality 5.0 defines systems as resilient if they are robust, adaptable, and capable of rapid recovery and function maintenance under stress. It's about bouncing back effectively.
So less just in time and more.
More just in case, perhaps. Mm-hmm. It often means moving away from those hyper-optimized JIT models that were the hallmark of quality 4.0 efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Resilience might prioritize JIC supply strategies.
Okay.
Quality managers must assess the integrity of distributed manufacturing networks, maybe integrating local added manufacturing like 3D printing capabilities or building redundancy into critical data systems using decentralized architectures. Quality is measured by the rate of recovery after a shock, not just the probability of avoiding one.
So it's a proactive measure against unpredictability, where adaptability itself becomes a core audited quality metric.
Exactly.
And finally, the fourth pillar, social responsibility. How do we give this? Well, it sounds like an abstract ethical requirement, the necessary teeth for a quality standard.
Yeah, that's always the challenge with ethics in business, isn't it? Social responsibility here defines the ethical requirement for the organization's interaction with the wider world. It demands that quality measures account for the broader societal impact of production and products.
Broader impact like?
Like transparency regarding labor practices, community impact assessments, adherence to ethical sourcing standards that go far beyond just minimum legal compliance.
And the teeth, how do you audit that?
The teeth come from making these requirements auditable. Again, using 4.0's data logging and AI capabilities. For instance, monitoring the equity and impact of automated hiring processes to check for bias. Or verifying fair wages throughout every single tier of the global supply chain using transparent data. If an organization fails to adhere to its stated ethical contract with society, even if its product is physically perfect, it is deemed a failure of quality 5.0.
Wow. The implication for you, the listener, is just crystal clear. Your professional skill set has to dramatically evolve. You're no longer just measuring deviations from a blueprint.
Not at all.
You are validating ethical, environmental, and human outcomes. This fusion of technical expertise with ethical frameworks is basically the new baseline.
It really is. It's a complete redefinition of the profession scope.
Okay. So Quality 5.0 is the operational how for industry built upon these four pillars. But the source material then transitions us to the ultimate grand objective, the why. This idea that Quality 5.0 eventually feeds into the concept of Society 5.0. That sounds profoundly utopian.
It is a sweeping vision, no doubt, and the source clearly identifies its origin. It's described specifically as a Japanese outlook.
Okay.
Society 5.0 aims to create a super smart, human-centric society that resolves complex global issues by achieving a near-perfect integration of the digital and physical worlds. Think advanced tech serving humanity seamlessly.
A super smart society. And what are the key goals of the Society 5.0 that our new quality standards are meant to actually support?
Well, the two core objectives are massive. First, to create a harmonious integration of advanced technology and human needs.
Harmonious integration.
Yeah, this is where the human centricity dimension of Quality 5.0
right.
acts as the direct operational instruction set, you see.
Right, it provides the rules.
Exactly. Society 5.0 requires that technology consistently serves people, alleviating social challenges like improving healthcare access, reducing traffic congestion, helping with elder care, rather than creating new digital divides or, you know, job displacement anxieties.
Okay, that's goal one. What's the second?
Second, the goal is to drive sustainable development and improve quality of life for everyone, globally.
Globally? That's ambitious.
It is. And this relies entirely on the sustainability and social responsibility dimensions of Quality 5.0. The idea is, if every major global producer adheres to these standards, the cumulative effect is designed to be a measurable uplift in environmental health and living standards, ensuring that progress doesn't come at the expense of the planet or the marginalized.
But wait a second. History is kind of littered with technologies that promise utopian integration and instead created inequality or new systemic risks, right?
That's a very fair point.
What ensures that this transition to Society 5.0 won't be another instance where the efficiency of 4.0 simply uses the new ethical language to mask the same old profit motives?
That is precisely why the Quality 5.0 framework is presented as necessary. You could say Quality 5.0 is the infrastructure for idealism.
Hmm. Infrastructure for idealism. I like that.
Without the rigor and the auditable standards of 5.0, Society 5.0 is just a marketing slogan for advanced technology.
Right.
Quality 5.0 ensures that the technologies driving Society 5.0, from automated transportation networks to smart energy grids, are built right, ethically sourced, resilient to failure, and fundamentally designed to enhance human life, not just maximize system throughput.
Yeah.
It acts as the critical ethical and operational validator.
And this whole movement is given immense credibility because it's championed by global organizations like ASQ, the American Society for Quality. Mm. They boast members and customers in over 130 countries, positioning themselves as the voice of quality.
That reach is fundamentally important. When a standard body of that global influence starts explicitly connecting technical standards, you know, the nuts and bolts of quality assurance and control, to massive macro societal goals like human harmony and global sustainability,
yeah,
it signals that technical compliance and ethical commitment are becoming inseparable. They're becoming legal and market requirements. This isn't some regional pilot program. It is being established as a global operational imperative that the market will, sooner or later, demand.
Okay, so we've established the grand vision, but let's pivot back to the practical reality. The authors really stress that this transformation is not easy or automatic. What are the most immediate and significant hurdles that need to be cleared for this transition from 4.0 to 5.0 to actually succeed?
Yeah, the sources detail several major adaptation challenges. And interestingly, these challenges aren't primarily technological. They are fundamentally human and organizational.
That makes sense. Change is hard.
It is. First and foremost is cultural resistance. This involves the deep-seated inertia within large organizations. For decades, company culture has been calibrated to metrics focused on short-term profitability, quarterly returns, cost minimization.
The whole DNA of the 4.0 era.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Shifting that established focus to long-term sustainability, social responsibility, and ethical practices requires a radical cultural reset. It's huge.
It seems like you're asking the leadership of a company to fundamentally redefine success itself. Moving from, did we maximize shareholder return this quarter, to, did we enhance societal value this quarter, even if it cost us an extra percentage point of margin?
That is exactly the cultural chasm that needs to be bridged. Leadership must internalize the belief that operating ethically and sustainably isn't just a compliance burden, but actually a source of long-term competitive advantage.
Right.
This requires rewriting mission statements, compensation structures, daily operational priorities,
yeah,
often against resistance from established practices, and investors focus solely on those traditional performance indicators.
Okay, cultural resistance is number one. What else?
Second, there's the sheer challenge of integrating new technologies. We have these complex, diverse 4.0 technologies, AI models, vast IoT networks, advanced robotics. Now we need to unify them to not only talk to each other, but also consistently uphold this stringent new quality 5.0 standards across all four pillars.
Can you give me a concrete technical example of that integration difficulty? It sounds tricky.
Sure. Consider the integration of artificial intelligence. Mm. Under Quality 4.0, the quality check for an AI was mostly its predictive accuracy or operational speed, right?
Mm.
Under Quality 5.0, that same quality check must now include an ethical audit. Is the algorithm free of racial, gender, or socioeconomic biases? Does it treat the human worker ethically?
Wow.
Integrating those ethical constraints into what is often a purely statistical learning model is incredibly complex, demands new system architectures, new validation protocols. It requires unifying the data science team with the ethics and quality assurance teams in a way they probably haven't worked together before.
Okay, that makes sense. Big hurdle. What's third?
Third, and highly relevant to you, the listener, is bridging skill gaps. The authors stress that the required labor force evolution is mandatory, not optional.
Right.
The professional skills required for Quality 5.0 demand a fusion of traditional technical expertise, you know, SPC, Lean, Six Sigma, with environmental systems management, advanced risk analysis focused on resilience, and sophisticated ethical training.
So the quality professional is not only validating component tolerance, but also validating the carbon cost of that component and the psychological well-being of the technician installing it. Is that what we're saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We are looking for highly specialized, maybe T-shaped professionals, deep in their core technical discipline, but broad in their knowledge of these new 5.0 dimensions.
Okay.
This demands a systemic overhaul of professional education and certification bodies to create professionals who can genuinely operate as central, ethical, and operational coordinators across departments.
A whole new generation of quality pros.
Essentially, yes. And the fourth challenge cited is the difficulty of maintaining a focus on sustainability and ethical practices. This speaks to the need for persistent vigilance.
Meaning,
in competitive markets, the pressure for cost savings and speed is constant. It never goes away.
Yeah.
This constant pressure can easily dilute the 5.0 principles, maybe making a human-centric system marginally less ergonomic to save 5 cents, or using a slightly less sustainable material because the cost difference is just seen as too high in the short term.
So this suggests that a real commitment to Quality 5.0 requires leadership with robust conviction, maybe even some external pressure, to prevent that short-term profit motive from overriding the ethical imperatives.
It does. It likely necessitates a regulatory environment or a strong market demand that penalizes short-term expediency over long-term value. What's also really important for context here is the author's caution. They state it is premature to provide an implementation model for Quality 5.0.
Premature. Wow.
That's a profound statement, isn't it? It means that while the direction is set, the detailed, step-by-step roadmap for industry, it doesn't exist yet.
So we're building the plane while flying it, basically.
In a way, yes. Practitioners like you listening are participating in building this framework in real time. The concepts are revolutionary, and we are literally witnessing the structure of future industry being defined right now.
Okay, this next part feels like the most critical practical section for our audience. If Quality 5.0 is built on things like human centricity and social responsibility, we can't just rely solely on the traditional statistical methods like SPC or control charts that really govern Quality 4.0, can we?
No, definitely not.
So how do we make the seemingly unmeasurable, like ethical outcomes or organizational resilience, quantifiable and auditable in a rigorous quality system? That seems like a massive challenge.
It is arguably the largest technical and conceptual hurdle of the entire transition. Traditional quality was focused on minimizing variance from a physical target specification, right? A number. These new dimensions require holistic, systemic, and often qualitative metrics that demand entirely new data pipelines and assessment methodologies.
Okay, let's break it down pillar by pillar again. How do you measure human centricity?
Right. We must move metrics beyond simple safety incident rates, which was maybe the old way. New metrics will need to quantify the human experience.
The experience, like
measures of cognitive load for operators, maybe using real-time feedback mechanisms like biometric data.
Seriously, biometrics?
Potentially, yes. Also, usability scores that integrate findings from industrial psychology and detailed tracking of human-machine interaction efficiency, not just the machine's efficiency alone.
So the quality professional is assessing systems for digital well-being.
Precisely. A high-quality 5.0 system must demonstrably reduce stress and enhance human decision-making, not just automate tasks away or make them harder.
So the quality department is now maybe commissioning studies from neuroscience and integrating tools from behavioral science right into the audit process.
Absolutely. The data scientists working on quality now need to collaborate directly with occupational therapists and user experience designers. It's a much broader team effort.
Okay, that's huge. What about measuring sustainability rigorously?
This requires new quality control points that trace resources from cradle to grave, or ideally cradle to cradle, within a closed-loop system.
Right, the circular economy idea.
Exactly. So quality metrics here would include things like audited reports on the embodied energy analysis and components, verifiable waste stream purity metrics ensuring materials are truly recyclable, not just theoretically, and maybe compliance with detailed product-as-a-service model.
Product-as-a-service.
Yeah, where the quality team retains responsibility for the product's entire life cycle, including its retrieval and reprocessing at the end.
Wow, okay.
These metrics require integrating IoT and robust cloud infrastructure, the 4.0 tech, again, to provide continuous verifiable data on environmental performance. It turns sustainability from just a marketing claim into a hard, auditable standard.
And the complexity of measuring resilience. We agree that simply counting downtime is not enough.
Right. Resilience demands dynamic, scenario-based metrics. Quality professionals will likely need to utilize advanced simulation technologies, things like digital twins to model supply chain shock events.
Okay, run simulations.
Yes. And the metrics are shifted toward measuring the rate of recovery, how fast can we return to essential function after a hit, and maybe things like system elasticity indices, how flexible are alternative operational pathways.
Elasticity. Interesting.
Quality teams must now track redundancy levels, geographic diversity of sourcing, and the verifiable speed at which decentralized manufacturing assets, like local 3D printing facilities, can be activated during a disruption. Resilience is measured through rigorous stress testing and validated readiness, not just hoping for the best.
It really sounds like quality audits are becoming these expansive organizational health checkups, requiring cross-departmental input from legal, HR, logistics, environmental systems, everything.
That holistic view is absolutely essential. And this culminates in measuring social responsibility, probably the hardest one to quantify directly.
Yeah, how do you assign a numerical quality score to ethical sourcing or positive community impact?
It's tough. The solution seems to involve moving toward auditable transparency scores. This requires using 4.0 technology again, like permission blockchain ledgers, to verify ethical sourcing claims throughout the entire supply chain, tier by tier.
Okay, using tech for verification.
Exactly. Quality professionals will track metrics derived from independent, third-party social audits, measuring adherence to internationally recognized labor standards, assessing the economic effect of automation on local communities, and requiring public, verifiable disclosure of environmental impacts.
So the quality team becomes the guardian of the organization's moral contract with society.
That's a great way to put it. The metric here is compliance with these detailed, verifiable ethical standards, which must be rigorously audited against the real-time data provided by the 4.0 infrastructure. The integration of these new metrics is absolutely key to making the philosophical shift of 5.0 not just aspirational, but practically enforceable and auditable.
This whole transformation really elevates the quality department, doesn't it? From being seen sometimes as a cost control function focused on eliminating defects, to becoming a strategic value-adding center focused on ensuring comprehensive, ethical, and sustainable fitness in the global market. Because without quantifiable measurement, 5.0 really does remain just a theory.
Precisely. Measurement makes it real.
Wow. This has been a monumental exploration into the future of standards. Let's quickly try to synthesize the journey for you, the listener. We define Quality 5.0 as the human-centric, sustainable successor to Quality 4.0.
Right, building on its tech.
Built upon the existing technological infrastructure of Industry 5.0, we broke down those four revolutionary dimensions: human-centricity, sustainability, resilience, and social responsibility.
Our four pillars.
And detailed how these principles provide the operational mechanisms designed to eventually usher in Society 5.0, that aspiration for technological harmony and improved quality of life, championed initially by a Japanese outlook, but now being adopted globally.
The fundamental takeaway, I think, is that quality management is undergoing a massive paradigm shift.
Yeah.
It is moving from being a purely operational function measuring conformance to spec to becoming a deep moral and societal imperative.
Yeah.
Ensuring that technological advancement is inherently good for people and the planet. The tools built for efficiency in 4.0 are now being deliberately repurposed for conscience in 5.0.
So you listening now have the full framework for understanding the required adaptation in your professional field. This transformation, spearheaded by experts in really high-stakes fields like aerospace, is not some distant future. It is the present.
Mm-hmm. Happening now.
Even if, as we heard, the comprehensive implementation model is still being defined day by day. This makes your current role in helping to define that model incredibly important.
Absolutely. The future of working quality is clearly a marriage between advanced data science and practical ethical philosophy, creating a new, highly demanding, but potentially profoundly impactful professional discipline.
Okay, let me leave you with one final provocative thought that ties back to that practical tension we discussed: the repurposing of 4.0 technology for 5.0 goals.
Okay.
If Quality 5.0 requires merging advanced technology with social responsibility and resilience, what is the single greatest existing piece of technology from the efficiency-focused Quality 4.0 era that will be the hardest, conceptually and culturally, to make truly human-centric under the new 5.0 standard?
That's a good one.
Think about something that was purely optimized for cost or speed, not conscience, and whose repurposing would involve substantial unlearning for organizations. That is something for you to mull over or explore on your own as you navigate this transition.
A powerful challenge indeed. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.
We'll catch you on the next one.